All right, guys, I did it. I watched Harry and Meghan, so you don't have to. Spoiler alert, let's get into it. So I feel like during this conversation, Prince Harry is going to get overshadowed quite a bit, as he is repeatedly overshadowed by Meghan Markle in his personal life.
I wrote letters to his family when I got there saying, I am dedicated to this. I'm here for you.
I'm not smiling. I'm tense and I'm agitated.
No shade to Harry, but that just seems to be the way it is. So often when we're having conversations on this show, Meghan Markle has popped up. She's very active within the feminist and Me Too / Time's Up movement. She's been open about her support of diversity, equity, and inclusion. She's worked with Harry on vaccines. She's also been very outspoken about the objectification of her and her body as she's worked on different shows and was a what do they call them? Box girls on Deal or No Deal. So Meghan has stayed in the limelight quite a bit and so often talking about stories and parts of her life that she views herself as a victim in. So the victimhood lens is very strong here, and we'll get into whether or not that is justified as we talk about this series. First and foremost, I want to say episode one was actually pretty good. Wasn't very political, wasn't very polarizing, and in fact just detailed an account of Harry and Meghan getting to know each other, having this whirlwind romance, and her just slowly inching her way into a royal family that she claims to know nothing about. But we will talk about that in just a minute. There are some valid problems explored in this docuseries as we move off of episode one and deeper into the lives of Harry and Meghan. There's very active media presence and paparazzi in their lives. And they seemingly have no privacy unless they really, really fight for it, which that's got to be very difficult. It's got to be rough to have paparazzi and press and media following you around everywhere you go and constantly trying to get details from your life. Now, Meghan was slightly accustomed to that in being an actress on the show Suits, but it was probably nowhere near the amount of attention that she was getting once she entered the royal family and entered Prince Harry's life. She also has to deal with the issue of family betrayal. As her father starts getting paid for talking to media, he stages different photo shoots with different press outlets that he's clearly getting paid for in order to get more information from him about Meghan and Harry. And in the end of the docuseries, we go through a lawsuit that Meghan and Harry get involved in because a personal letter that she writes to her father, trying to get him to quell all of the unrest that they're dealing with as a family unit, gets out and gets published in the media. So I feel for her on that. And then, of course, we have Meghan's sister, who seemingly was not a very strong part of Meghan's life. But as soon as Meghan became famous for dating Prince Harry, she hopped into the limelight, started talking a bunch of BS about Meghan and going to the press, I'm assuming, for money as well. And Meghan's just sitting there looking at her like, who is that?
Who the f*** is that guy?
So that's got to be rough. Now, on top of that, we get into the main accusation and the accusation that led to things like the massive Oprah interview that Harry and Meghan did that was kind of a flop. The accusation of racism. Meghan says she faced quite a bit of racism in entering the royal family and in marrying Prince Harry, as she is a biracial woman. But I gotta say, has anybody seen Meghan Markle? Do you guys know what Meghan Markle looks like? She's not exactly walking around looking like the blackest woman in the UK. She's pretty much a white passing individual, which she speaks to in the documentary. So I find it hard to believe that there was lots of blatant racism occurring behind the walls of the royal palace. But who am I to say? There's definitely some clear examples of racism being sprinkled into different headlines talking about her. One tabloid headline referring to her as straight out of Compton, which is wild, and saying that her mother lives in a rundown part of California. So there was lots of salacious headlines that seemed to inject race into the different narratives that they were spinning regarding her and her family. And another example that they use is a racist brooch that apparently a family member wore to an event with Meghan without knowing it was racist. So really reaching as far as racism is involved, but they make it a huge part of this docuseries as if it's the most important thing about Meghan and her involvement with this family. What a wonder it is to see a Black woman now sit within the royal family and be a part of this great and long-held traditional institution. Now, all of this taken into account, all of this criticism, all of the turmoil that they claim to be victimized by, I will say, it seems as though Meghan Markle was extremely well received by the British public. She and Harry would go on walkabouts throughout the streets of the UK, and I mean thousands upon thousands of people would gather just to get a glimpse of her, let alone shake hands, give them gifts, give them flowers, let them know and congratulate them on their status as a couple and on her entrance into the royal family. So tabloid headlines are one thing, but the public seem to be very happy about Meghan's relationship with Harry. Now, let's get into some criticism outside of the valid points that they bring up as far as their lives and the things that they had to go through. I don't care how much she tries to act like she was a little know-nothing when it comes to entering the royal family and she had no idea what she was getting into. At one point, even referring to some of the traditions that they engage in as jokes, like she thought they were not serious things that they engaged in. Meghan is a smart girl. She knew exactly what she was doing getting into this family. And it is very clear that she is nowhere near as naive as she wants you to think that she is.
I remember in the car and driving up and he said, you know how to curtsy, right? And I just thought it was a joke.
You mean to tell me that you didn't look him up when you started dating him? You mean to tell me that this whole time, having Harry by your side, who is a prince in the royal family, deeply involved in the institutions with a deep understanding of how all of these systems work and how all of the family members have their role within this larger network of being the royal family, that he didn't let you know what your involvement was going to be? He didn't let you know what things were going to look like? He just whispered to you before you went into rooms exactly what you needed to do when you stumbled throughout your new life as a duchess?
You know, I know what you're doing right now, and I don't like it. So why don't you just shut your trap before I put my foot in it?
I find it very, very hard to believe. But again, I can't really make that accusation. And still, Meghan enters the family as this know-nothing, ignorant girl, very confident, very willing to step outside of the bounds of what is the normal tradition for this family. She starts by injecting politics into a lot of the work that she does outside of the royal family. Like I said, getting involved in the Me Too / Time's Up movement, speaking openly about feminism and diversity and equity and inclusion, which is not typical to the royal family. They try to remain outside of deeply polarizing topics, but Meghan runs right in there and does her own thing. All in all, Meghan tries to come off like she's just some bowl that's been placed in a china shop, trying to find her place. But beneath it all, she seems like she knows exactly what she's doing, and in many ways, she is very much in love with herself. A small moment that not many are talking about is when Meghan reads a poem that she's written when she was a child in regard to her parents' divorce.
But it's not real. It's just a dream. I cannot cry or even scream. So here I sit with cat number three. Life would be easy if there were two of me.
And this smile that she gets hearing her own words and hearing her own intellect is just so telling to how she sees herself as a person. And it happens again at the very end of the documentary when she reads out a speech that she gave at her wedding. She makes it very clear when she gets into her speech and is reading it off her phone that it is very rare for a woman to even speak at her wedding. And she was the one who was going to step outside of that tradition and do exactly that. She was going to give a great speech. And she takes a lot of pride and joy in her words, which in some ways is a good thing, but also speaks to your character, just how ignorant are we really meant to believe you are when this is your self-perception. Now, we trail through this documentary talking about how hard it is to lead life in the royal family and all the inner politics and inner turmoil that's happening. And at some points, you do truly feel bad for Meghan and Harry, for the things that they have to go through. It feels like you are just standing in front of a fire hose, having water sprayed at you as you are listening to all the things that they go through. And Meghan details issues that she's had with her mental health, which of course I am sympathetic to. But there are just these moments that shine through that you know There are other things at play here, and that in many ways, this couple knows exactly what they are doing with their public image, with press, with media, and just how little they actually seem to care about their privacy. Throughout this entire documentary, they talk about how concerned they are with keeping their private life private. But then why are we watching a documentary about your entire lives, where you've made it a very clear effort to have everything filmed whenever you have a moment to do so? Also, they had that Oprah interview, which was meant to be the last time they tell their story, the final time that they get everything out. And now, come to find out, Harry's publishing a book about his life. So how concerned is this couple really with privacy?
It was all intentional to build your brand.
Can you imagine?
Yep!
How little sense that makes?
Now, the last note I want to talk about here, and I think the strangest relationship that is detailed in this docuseries, is the one with Tyler Perry. And if you're going, Tyler Perry, isn't that the guy who plays Madea?
I'm an OGMADEA.
Yeah, I'm talking about the guy who plays Madea, who somewhat mysteriously shows up in Meghan and Harry's lives as he randomly writes Meghan a letter after seeing her story in the news, talking about how he has the utmost sympathy for her, that he's here for her if she ever needs him. And let it be known, this is a man writing to a woman who he does not know, who is currently married and in her own relationship, but is getting a lot of fame due to this marriage. And Tyler Perry, again, a man outside of her relationship, felt the need to write a letter talking about how he's here for her if she needs anything. A stranger.
Very weird. This is very weird.
So Meghan gets this letter, reads it, is touched by it, sets it aside, and doesn't talk to Tyler Perry for quite some time, but eventually falls into a place of despair with everything going on in her life and decides, you know what? I'm going to call Tyler Perry, the random man who I do not know, who sent me a letter saying that he's here for me. So she calls Tyler Perry and breaks down on the phone to him, a stranger who she does not know, which I know some of you will say, well, sometimes you just need to talk to somebody outside of your life. And that is the excuse given during this documentary. But alas, it is very, very strange. Anyway, she talks to Tyler Perry, she breaks down to him, and eventually it comes to a point where she needs a safe haven. Her and Harry need to go somewhere, away from the press, away from the media, and Tyler Perry raises his hand and says, you guys can come and stay at my house. Again, strange, but they do exactly that. They stay in his house for quite some time, months even, and then they eventually ask Tyler Perry to be the godfather of their child. And Tyler says, you know, yes, I will be the godfather. I, too, refuse to go through the traditional formalities that involve actually going to the UK, working with the royal family to become the godfather. I'm not going to do that. Another rejection of the traditions that are long held within this institution. And I'll be the godfather to your child. So what a weird thing to go through. But that is basically the summation of what I saw in Harry and Meghan. As far as Harry is concerned, I'm sorry, bud. He's been overshadowed in this whole thing. And there are plenty of very interesting moments where it's seemingly clear that Harry does long for the institution that he left. The infamous curtsy moment where Meghan details what it's like to have to curtsy in front of the Queen, thinking it was some sort of joke. And she does this on camera as Harry has this cringe-filled face watching her and listening to her do this.
Pleasure to meet you, Your Majesty.
It's very clear that he misses the institution that he left, the family dynamic that he left, but seems to think that he has made the right choice, and that very well could be true, but he is often lost when it comes to this entire documentary. This documentary should have been called Meghan Markle, as far as I'm concerned. And you know what? I think that's where we'll leave things. Those are my thoughts on Harry and Meghan, the docuseries that's now on Netflix. You guys can check it out if you want to, but hopefully I did a good job detailing some of the different subject matters that are touched on in this. My overall thought on this is, how much of a victim can they really claim to be in this life? We're talking about two members of a royal family, one of the most elite families in the entire world, talking about how hard it is to have the lives that they have. Now, there are many points where I'm sympathetic to the struggles that they go through. The paparazzis, the family betrayal, just the knowing that at any moment your life could be put out into the media and into the press in any light they see fit. Not fun. But also, you are a member of the royal family. It's hard to believe you did not know what you were getting into, that you were not warned, and that you were not trained for the position that you were about to be in. And if we view our lives through the lens of victimhood, we will find victimhood everywhere we look. And that seems to be exactly what Meghan Markle and Harry have done thus far. I hope we don't hear much from them in the future after this docuseries is out, because that's what they wanted, right? To tell their story one final time. Although Harry seemingly has a book coming out, so we're real concerned with privacy. Guys, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we post a new video for you guys. And drop down below, what are some other things you want me to watch and give my take on? I struggled through Harry and Meghan 6 hours of watching their lives play out right in front of me. And those are my final thoughts. Leave a comment down below. Did you watch it? How do you feel about it? Are you sympathetic to them? Or do you have criticism as well? I would love to hear it. And guys, thank you so much for watching. We'll be back next time.